The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. For putting that in the chat box. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to mute us just so that the quality of the recording is a little bit better. Otherwise, sometimes, unknowingly, there's a lot of sounds that end up coming through our living spaces. So today, I'd like to continue on this series of the inner critic. I've done quite a few now, right? I'm not sure how long I'm going to do this, but I wanted to include a little bit more about this idea of the inner critic and some different ways in which we might work with it. And one way is to notice how sometimes we might have this sense of allegiance to this inner voice that's putting us down, belittling us, make us feel like we're inadequate in some kind of way. Maybe there's this allegiance because it's familiar. Chances are we've heard it a lot. And B, maybe there's a part of us that thinks it's true and we don't really want to give up this idea that we have to be really hard on ourselves. We don't want to give up this idea that the only way that we will get what we want or go where we want to go or be who we want to be is if we're really hard on ourselves, right? Because there's so much pressure, like society gives us so much pressure to beat ourselves up, beat other people up too, right? With our judgments, judge ourselves, judge others, they go together. Right? The people who judge themselves the worst are the ones who are judging others the worst too. It's my experience when I see that thing happening. So we often have this, and it's not at the front of our minds. And it would, like if you were to ask somebody, they might say, oh, don't be ridiculous. I don't have loyalty, allegiance to this voice that is so mean to me. But there might be a part of a way in which we do, actually. This inner critic, which sometimes can feel like it's a sub-personality. There's many different ways it can be felt or sensed, and not everybody has it. But if we do, there's a way in which we might be a part of us that doesn't want to discount it, doesn't want to say it's not true. But sometimes we need to have what we might say some fierce compassion. So compassion is when there's this warm-heartedness, this care, this warmth, and this love meets suffering. Then the love, the warmth just gets transformed from loving kindness, we might say, to compassion. So compassion comes out of this warmth and care, and it adds onto it or has a little extra seasoning, we might say, of wishing the suffering to end, wishing that some well-being for the other person or the other being, or if we're doing compassion for ourselves, wishing that ourselves can have some freedom from suffering, can have some ease from suffering. So somehow when we're working with the inner critic, instead of having this allegiance to recognize, oh, there's this pain here. When this inner critic is saying all these things to ourselves, and we could just allow this natural compassion to arise. If we're kind of like coming out of this place of warmth, this is why I like to do compassion practice, starting with loving kindness, so that the heart is already kind of open and spacious. So that when it encounters the suffering, it just this transformation into compassion already happens. But I want to add a little bit here to just compassion. Sometimes we need a little bit of fierce compassion. Instead of just saying, oh, yeah, everything's nice, and oh, I wish the suffering would go away, there's this way which we might be a little detached from it. But is there a way that we can meet the difficulty of the inner critic with a kind heart, but also with some fierce compassion that has something like Okay, I recognize the difficulty here, and I know you're trying to help, but it's not working. I know you're trying to help, but this isn't helpful. To be belittling ourselves and putting ourselves down. So in the way that we might like stick up for a friend sometimes, that we might, you know, stand up like, no, don't talk to my friend like that. Is there a way that we could do that for ourselves? No, don't talk to me like that. I know you're trying to help, but that's not working. So there's this kind of like this fierce compassion that says, no, that approach doesn't work. I'm going to do something else. And sometimes we have to do that for ourselves. And it's a little bit odd, right? You know, that is okay. We're saying this one part of ourselves is saying it to another part of self. And without worrying about what all this means or getting lost in the, I don't know, the minutia of it, can we instead just kind of have this sentiment or this feeling of this, no, this isn't helpful. This is actually painful. But in order to have this feeling like it's not helpful, we do kind of have to switch our allegiance from the inner critic to everything else. Right? We're not the inner critic. Sometimes it might feel like that's the only thing that's there and it's the loudest and the most predominant, but it can be really helpful to recognize, nope, that's just a voice that arises on occasion. It's not the only thing that's happening in our inner worlds. And can we have this sense of, I know you're trying to help, but it's not working. That's not helpful. In fact, it's making me feel worse. Maybe I'll just, before I end here, just I'll build on a little bit what I was saying earlier. Is that often when we get into judging, when we're judging ourselves, often it kind of spills out into judging others. And then just that never feels good either. This like, oh, that person, they shouldn't do that, or whatever it might be. That doesn't feel good either. That is not a loving, kind, warm-hearted way to show up in the world. So even if we're not quite ready to switch allegiance, can we feel the pain of the judging? There's of what the judging mind is saying, and there's just the activity of judging. It just kind of diminishes us. Even though we might think we're better than others, there's still a way in which it diminishes us. And there's a part of us that recognizes that too. It might be a habit. It might be something familiar. And maybe there's a little zing of energy like, oh yeah, I would never do what that other person is doing, but it comes at a big cost. This is not the way to have a life that has freedom and ease and warmth and care, which is what I think all of us want. This is part of where happiness lies. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation. So taking a meditation posture, one that has ease, some comfort, but also expresses this intention to meditate. And to feel into the body, to be embodied, can you sit and know that you're sitting, feeling the experience of sitting? Is there a way that can soften or ease up or let go any areas, obvious areas of tension or tightness? Sometimes by bringing our awareness to them, there can be an increase in relaxation, not always. And if the tension doesn't diminish when you bring your attention to it, can you be okay with that? Resting the attention on the sensations of breathing, feeling the stretching and the release of the stretch around the ribs, perhaps. Maybe it's the movement of the abdomen. Maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. And then when the mind wanders, as it's apt to do, can we, with some ease and gentleness and warmth, just begin again with the sensations of breathing? So this practice, mindfulness of breathing, is always available. If ever it feels like the loving kindness isn't helpful, or that it's, you're like dipping into overwhelm with emotions or something like this, you can always just come back to mindfulness of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, a person, a furry family member, maybe even an imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, whatever brings a little sense of delight or warmth or like an inner smile for whomever. Maybe it's even somebody you don't know, but they've touched your life in some kind of way, and you just have so much appreciation and gratitude. Connecting with this lovable being in any way that makes sense for you. Some people like to visualize, some people like to maybe feel a connection in the chest, a heart center. And then to support our cultivating loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Connecting with that warm-hearted feeling you have with the lovable being. Just allowing that feeling to get as big as it would like. The key word here is allow. If you don't feel anything in particular, it's perfectly fine. You can just stay with the practice in a relaxed, easy way. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then can we expand this loving kindness to include ourselves? Of course we include ourselves. Bringing an image of yourself to mind, an image that makes you smile. It can be at whatever time or you're at whatever age. Or you can just tune into the felt sense of this moment of being here embodied. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Allowing ourselves to soak up some of this warmth, this care, this kindness. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to do some work with the inner critic, bring to mind a mildly difficult situation in your life. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult, something that's like a 2 or a 3. There's a few phrases you can say. These have a really different flavor. Might be helpful to just choose one and to go at your own pace. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. Thank you. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. Now we can practice a little bit with some fierce compassion. So bring to mind something the inner critic might say. Sometimes the inner critic can be awfully mean, but we'll do the same thing. Of the mean things on a scale of 1 to 10, choose something like a 2 or a 3. Not the meanest. And we can respond, thank you for trying to help, but that's not helpful. Thank you for trying to help, but that's not helpful. Thank you for trying to help, but that's not helpful. So this idea of having compassion for ourselves and also having fierce compassion, we're kind of like drawing the line and saying, this actually isn't helpful. And maybe it feels burdensome and awkward to kind of do some of this mental gymnastics, or maybe it's really helpful to feel like actually we can draw a line in the sand and say that everything that shows up in our minds isn't necessarily, you know, the best thing at that time. And kind of like an act of compassion for ourselves to say it's not helpful to just be beating ourselves up and berating ourselves or somehow making us feel inadequate or this harshness or blaming, or there's so many different ways, right, this inner critic can show up. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk about this amongst yourselves, this idea of having some fierce compassion. So compassion is, you know, this comes out of warm-heartedness. It definitely comes out of warm-heartedness. And so that it's not, otherwise it would just be the inner critic being on the inner critic, you know, that's the last thing we want to do. So it's worthwhile to spend some time kind of like just easing into the loving kindness, a little bit of compassion, and then some fierce compassion. So I'd like to put like three or four of you in a room, and you can just talk about how that was for you, that experience, or maybe some of this idea of fierce compassion. And this, you don't need to say like your deepest, darkest secrets. And I would say it's really helpful to just make one point and then allow it go to the next person. And then they make one point. And then it goes to the next person. They make one point. And then it comes back around to the beginning. And now maybe you've heard some things that you haven't heard before and you have some new things to say. What, you know what? A whole bunch of people just left. Okay, so I'm going to start over by making all these rooms. I can understand why some people feel like they don't want to do this, but okay, now I think here we go. Okay, so you'll be in the room for 13 minutes, and it can be helpful to go, let's go in alphabetical order. So we kind of level the playing field between the extroverts and the introverts. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. So would anybody like to comment? How was that, this idea of, you know, bringing in fierce compassion, or was there some aha moments during the small group, or is it nice to connect over this, or protests? I'm silly, Diana. Don't ask us to do that again.
You know, real quick, I'd like to make a comment. It's yeah. Me. I didn't realize this is a great way to set boundaries. It's a part of that.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, kind of like that word, you know, specifically. And sometimes we do need to set boundaries. Very often we need to set boundaries. Yeah. Thank you, Rain.
You know, one of the things I got was an appreciation for my two colleagues for bringing up the issue of energy and energy and the energetic sense of what happens with criticism. I hadn't realized that until one of my co-attenders mentioned that, and I thought, oh yeah, that's why I can't, you know, it's almost immobilizing sometimes. Mm. Yeah. This gives me a path through that, I think. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Pat. The boundaries set with forgiveness and kindness, Jerry says in the chat box. Yeah, with forgiveness and kindness. Right? And for me, I think it's helpful to spend some time doing a little bit of the loving kindness and compassion before we get there. Otherwise, the inner critic can hijack this. Thank you for being helpful, but that's not helpful, right? So it's, you know, that's, it has a different impact than we meet it with some gentleness.
Yeah. I also thought it was helpful, the phrase that you used in terms of saying, I'm learning new skills and be patient, or I'm trying the best that I can. And in terms of dealing with other people and also towards yourself, that, you know, you can speak out of turn or speak unwisely, and you're not meaning to be hurtful or harmful, and you know, sometimes you just screw up.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you. Yep, sometimes we make mistakes and it doesn't have to be the end of the world. Yep. Thank you.
Diana, during the sitting, you had said something about saying to the inner critic, thank you, but now's not the time or something. And I just thought, man, I would never be so kind to my inner critic. I'd give it the FU.
Right, but that's just kind of aversion meeting aversion, and then we just
that's
go.
That's our personalities.
Right? But it's also to feel into, right? There's this... like the power of gentleness and warmth can really, right, undermine the kind of aversion. So, or the ill will.
I need to work on kindness and warmth, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so many of us do, right? Especially when it comes to ourselves, right? Like this kindness and warmth. Yeah. Okay. So we're at the top of the hour, and what's a delight to practice with you all. And may you have some ease and well-being and happiness and health. And if you like, we can unmute and all say goodbye together. So bye-bye, and thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Bye, Nancy.
Bye,
Nancy.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, Jane.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Nancy. Bye.